ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मीतयो श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। I will start today's talk with two incidents from Sri Ramakrishna's life and teachings. You know, Sri Ramakrishna was very fond of citing an example, how a bird was sitting on the mast of a ship, and the ship started, and when the bird woke up, then it couldn't find the land. So it flew towards the east, couldn't find the land, similarly to south, to north, to west. Then it came back, sat down on the mast, and it got rest. This was what Sri Ramakrishna was telling. It is a very symbolic type of story, parable. What is the water here? Ocean. This world. Samsara Sagar. What is the ship? Ship. What is the ship here? Our life is the ship. Our body and our mind is the ship. So we have travelled long. We don't see the land. Because the bird, where does the bird comfortably stay? What is the staying place of the bird? On the land. Land means what here? Land represents God. God. One's own self. Swapiti. I will come to that point. Swapiti. So it was searching. It went here and there. That means what? It was Jagrat Avastha, Swapna Avastha, Sushupti Avastha, all Avasthas it had seen. But there was no rest. It is taken from this Chandogya Upanishad. Sa yatha shekunahi sutrena prabaddho disham disham patitva anyatra ayatanam labdhva bandhanam eva upashreyata evam eva khalusomya tan manaha disham disham patitva. So it continues, just as a bird tied to a string, after flying in various directions and finding no resting place elsewhere, takes refuge at the very place where it is tied. Even so, my dear boy, that mind, after flying in various directions and finding no resting place elsewhere, takes refuge in prana alone. For the mind, dear boy, is tied to the prana. The point is, prana is not the resting place. It is the temporarily resting. The cause of mind is prana. And the cause of prana is the being. The being. It is to lead. So this is also illustrated by Thakur by another analogy. A man had a treasure. He wants to keep it safe. So he found a lake. Then he took the treasure into the lake and puts it somewhere. But he has to find it out next time. So he ties a thread to it and he takes that thread and puts it on the shore somewhere, and he remembers that particular place he tied the thread. Next time when he wants to get hold of the treasure, what does he do? So one side he knows, the other side he doesn't know. But one side he remembers, that is enough. So if he can catch hold of, remember, that one side, visible side, the side which he knows, and by catching hold of it, slowly he can go to the treasure. What is this parable for? You all read about it. What is the symbolism of this?
Sir, as long as we hold on to Thakur Maharaj.
No, no. The symbolism is, see, everything the other side of everything is nothing but God. If you analyze enough, a book, a table, a carpet, a man, a bird, any animal, this is the one side of the, this side of the thread, visible, manifest. Go to the cause. What is the manifest? Manifest means what? Anything that is effect is manifest. Another name for manifestation is called
effect.
If it is not manifest, then how will you find it?
Yeah.
Unmanifest, you can't find it.
Mm.
It is only manifest that we can find. And whatever we are experiencing is nothing but that which is
manifest.
So this manifestation is the effect. If this is an effect, there must be something which is the cause. So what is the cause and effect? One side of effect is cause. Another side of the cause is effect. So this is what is, he is the beautiful Upanishad ties it in with what we also quoted earlier. You see the bird also. Jagrata avastha, swapna avastha, sushupta avastha, turiya. All these avasthas are tied. What is the tying? One side of the Jagrata avastha is manifest. Another side of the Jagrata avastha is
unmanifest.
So if the Jagrata avastha, you understand? Waking state, dream state, dreamless state. If these are states and if these are manifestations, if these are experiences, the experiences might be tied to, must be tied to
experiencer.
Without experiencer, there is no
experience.
And without experience, there is no experiencer. Is it right?
Yes.
It is not right. An experiencer can be without experience. Experience cannot be you can be without a body, but body cannot be without you. A table cannot be without wood, but wood can be without a table. This is the tie-up. What is the Upanishad starting with? The teaching is starting with, like Mundaka Upanishad. Kasminnu Bhagavan Vignate Sarvamidam Vignatam Bhavati. By knowing which everything is known. So by knowing the cause, all the effects. Effects are many. Cause is
one.
This is always true. Effects. So we see this whole universe. What is it? It is effects. Not only effect, but it is effects. Why is it called effect, Kumar? Because it affects us. Whatever affects us is an effect. And if it doesn't affect, it is not an effect at all. You understand? Now he is becoming wiser. Okay, this is the tie-up here. What it is? Kasminnu Bhagavan Vignate Sarvamidam. So, my dear boy, Ashyena Ashrutam Shrutam Bhavati, Ena Amatam Matam Bhavati, Ena Avignatam Vignatam Bhavati. Did you ask your teachers that what is not heard is known, what is not thought is known? Whatever is the knowledge. So, they did not teach me. They did not teach you. Why? Because you didn't ask. Why did you not ask? What is the meaning of you didn't ask? We also ask. One fellow came to me, born and. So, Swamiji, I have come urgently to see you. He said, what? He says, as I asked him, what do you do? So I meditate. How much time do you meditate? He said, 3 minutes every day. And what do you want to know? I want to know how to attain Nirvikalpa Samadhi. What is the relationship between 3 minutes meditation and nirvikalpa samadhi? See, this is what we are doing. This is what we are. We want God realization. So one of our Swamis, he was confronted by a devotee. We want always to see Sri Ramakrishna. You know, every devotee, if I ask you, how long do you want to see the face of Sri Ramakrishna? Do you say, what, how long? 24 hours I want to see. How long do you sit in front of Ramakrishna? After that, you get up and go away. Why?
Bored.
Yes. He said, you get bored. We don't dare to use and be truthful to ourselves. Frankly, we get bored. So, if after realization, you go to Ramakrishna Loka, and 24 hours you are forced to see the face of Ramakrishna. But there is a disadvantage. There is an advantage for us. Because Ramakrishna, when he gets bored with you, he has nowhere to go. He can't even turn his face away. Yeah. Whereas we are limited beings, so we think we have got a place, which is not really true. Anyway, what is the point here? That our understanding should be according to our desire. So we can't ask a question. Why did Yama test Nachiketa? Simply, it is his pleasure to test him, or is there a purpose behind it?
Purpose
is, are you capable of receiving this knowledge?
Right.
If you are not capable, it's a burden.
Yeah.
And then this is a point which we have to understand. If you have any experience for which you are not ready, not only that will not give you pleasure, it will positively give pain, unbearable pain. Yes, Vaikunthanath Sanyal, he prayed, take it away. Arjuna said, I am frightened. He said, I do not get any rest. I can't rest. I don't have peace of mind. That's what he said. So you take away your vision. This is the truth. Madhur Babu, he prayed for Bhava from Thakur. And somehow he got it. What was, you remember? So he said, Baba, this suits you. Take it away from me. Everything is going to, you know, rack and ruin. Jamindari is going to rack and ruin. A man who wants to enjoy bhava, why should he worry about the jamindari and other things? That means he has no capacity to enjoy it. So this is a law of life. You cannot enjoy higher happiness unless you are prepared your mind to really enjoy. What did I say? You can't tolerate higher happiness. Just because it is higher happiness, you think that higher happiness, after all, who doesn't want? That is not the point. Can you enjoy higher happiness? It is impossible. Even right now you can see it. You know, Bade Ghulam Ali Kha, he says, like that he goes on. For 2.5 hours, this na-na-na-na is going on.
It's fantastic.
You see, this fantastic word you have not analyzed. Because classical music, if it is over within 20 minutes, then it is very fantastic.
Like
2.5 hours.
Huh?
Then the only conclusion I can come, that you listen in the beginning, How long?
Whole night.
How many days? Every day?
4 days.
Day after day?
4 days.
Ah.
No,
after 4 days, what happens?
No, we have to sleep, right?
He also has to sleep.
In between the talking, you are entertaining by giving examples, all those.
Ah.
Makes the concentration real good.
Good?
Yeah.
Very good. Otherwise, you see, that is the point.
Maharaj, when we are not ready for to divine, to receive any kind of knowledge like that, we'll not be able to retain also, Maharaj.
That is a different issue. What was the statement we made? If we are not ready for a higher happiness, that higher happiness means what? More happiness?
Mm-hmm.
That turns out to be a pain. Mm-hmm. And who wants pain? That is the reason why we request, O Lord, I can't bear this one. Please give me the type of happiness which I am comfortable with. Yeah. This is also ties in with Peter's principle. You know, there's a book, 1 Peter, like Murphy's Law.
Mm.
He made 1 Peter's principle. A man rises in his profession until, goes on rising in his profession until he reaches his incapacity.
Right.
If there is a position where he is not capable,
yes,
and he is not going to rise any further.
Yes. Yes.
This holds true in every field of life. So, what is the point we are coming here? We want to know that something. We want to know, to have all. But to enjoy that all, we should be prepared for that. Anyway, we are coming back to these two incidents we made, you know, Thakur's teachings. One is this bird. The other is the treasure. A person hides the treasure and then he ties a thread and puts it on the shore somewhere which he can remember. The point is the karana and the karya. So what is inside? Where is the treasure?
Lake.
Inside.
Lake.
Inside. And what is that treasure? God. But it is tied to the shore. What is this on the other side, which I can see, I can access whenever I want? So that is the point. You catch hold of any end, because a thread has got two ends. You catch hold of one end, and it invariably must lead to the other end. This is a most important principle for us to learn. What is this world? It's an effect. So, if this is an effect, it is invariably related to the
cause.
So, how do we go to the cause? Only through this world.
Right.
And what is this world? It is another concept which we have to understand. So, you say, we are in the world. We say, this is the world. Very free, every second we are saying, I am in the world. So what is the whole world consist? What does the whole world consist of?
God and
mind. Body and mind. I'm talking about world. Body and mind. We don't know any world excepting our body and mind. We don't know what's outside. You see, you think you are seeing me, and I am thinking I am seeing you. I am not seeing you. You are not seeing me. You are seeing the impression which your eyes have carried to your mind. And I am also seeing exactly the same thing. So what is the point of this? I am not there. I don't know what is outside. I don't know what you are. All that I know is what I think you are. That is where Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu. So here is Guru. You revere your Guru. And in your eyes, he is a great personality. But somebody, Tom, Dick and Harry, comes and he sees the same person. What is his idea?
Mm-hmm.
He thinks he is just like anybody else,
mm-hmm,
or if not worse. Sri Ramakrishna. Do you think everybody revered Sri Ramakrishna? Even today, do they revere?
No.
There are so many people in whose eyes, you know, somebody was telling, somebody was challenging one of our Swamis. I heard it just recently. I don't know, maybe in Austin or Houston, I don't know. So, two Swamis were invited to Hare Krishna. Then one of the Hare Krishna people was saying that, you know, why do you people, he was a temple priest and you made him a big man. Yes, what reply can be made to this kind of accusation? So then you know what the Swami said?
What
is it? He said, there was a man who is to graze the cows.
Oh.
Now you made him. So, in the other, you know, Krishna, even today, by Hindus, one fellow has written a book. I have not read the book, but I just came across the title. The Satanic Verses of Sri Krishna. You know, there is Sri Krishna says, it is your dharma to fight. It is your dharma to kill. He doesn't understand that Sri Krishna was not telling he was not telling Arjuna he was not inciting him to war.
Yeah.
He was inciting him that this adharma you will have to stop.
Mm-hmm.
If you can stop by peaceful means, that is fine. Mm-hmm. If not, you will have to do it by non-peaceful means. But anybody can interpret these verses in any way they like. They can justify it.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is, none of us look at things exactly in the same way. We can have 100 views. Sri Krishna was called a thief.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, Hindus themselves call Sri Krishna, you know, they love to call Sri Krishna a thief. Makhanchor. Yeah, what is that makhan? Inside makhan, there is a barbed wire which he catches hold. He gives you that makhan. And then when you eat like a fish caught by the this one, it will catch you and you are gone. So you are singing. And in the Rudra, Shiva, Taskaranam Pataye Namaha, the emperor of thieves. Because ordinary thief only takes a little bit of what you have. But this thief catches your heart. You are finished for life. Not only one life, you are finished forever. You lose your existence. Taskaranam Pataye Namaha. Hindus themselves have given. What is the point here? What is the point we are discussing?
Everything can be interpreted.
It all depends upon each one of our minds.
Yeah.
Including, this is the quarrel that is between Advaita and other systems of philosophy. Advaita says, what is the Advaita philosophy, you know? There is no creation at all. If there is no creation, is there a jiva?
No.
If there is no jiva, where comes the question of sadhana and bandhana and mukti?
Yeah, no.
It doesn't come.
No.
Iti esha paramarthataha. Gaudapada, you know, Gaudacharya, Mandukya Karika. There is no sadhaka, there is no sadhana, there is no bondage, there is no liberation. This is the real truth. And it is true. It is very true. Because we have this half-digested Advaita. And then we say, where is Maya? It must be in only God. Maya must belong to God. So you ask a Jivan Mukta, when you go beyond Maya, how do you look at Maya? He blinks his eye. Let's say my example is, you go to the sun and say, what do you do at night? What does sun do at night?
Watch the moon.
See, does the sun know what is called night?
No.
Does he at least know what is daytime?
No. He has no concept.
You see, this is what happens for a person who has attained the highest reality. The question of Maya doesn't arise. The question of one time I was in bondage and now I am free from bondage, he doesn't have that memory at all. You know that?
Because the mind is gone.
Because mind is not there.
Yeah.
So where is, if mind is not there, there is no memory. If there is no memory, there is no experience. If there is no experience, nothing is there. This is the simple truth. That is why many people asked Swamiji, how did the infinite become finite? He said, ask a rational question. Then I will give you a rational answer. For irrational question, there is only irrational answer. You know what is the answer? you are an idiot, you don't understand. This is the only answer. Because it is not a rational question. Everybody who is irrational is this. Okay, come back to our subject. How did this chapter start?
With that master.
The teacher has raised the question. The disciple did not even know I have to put such a question. He says, did you learn by knowing which, you know, the ashrutam shrutam bhavati, what cannot be heard, what cannot be heard beyond hearing becomes heard. What beyond thought becomes known. They never taught me. This is how it goes. But then immediately the teaching starts. So do you think that an enlightened teacher will give somebody, however related he is? You know, if you love somebody, then if you want to give him something, you cannot give unless that person is ready to receive it. So we presume Shvetaketu must have become humble, and then he has asked for his, he must ask, I am ready, and will you kindly teach it to me? Then only he must have started this. So he must have tested also. Why did Yamadharmaraja test Nachiketa? Is it his pleasure to test him?
No.
So whether you really want, are you going to persist in your inquiries? Are you going to hold on until the very end? This is the reason. And he found he was fit. So the teaching started. Here also, the teaching started. The teaching, this whole sixth chapter, I said it proceeds in three parts. First part is from the Karana Jnana. Karana Jnanat Sarvam Vignatam Bhavati. Eka Karana Jnanena Sarvam Vignatam Bhavati. Eka Karana. So, by knowing, the Karana is only one. And it is totally unmanifest. Karana is always unmanifest. Now, this is an important point you have to keep in mind. The Karya could be many, but the Karana is only one. But then, what does our normal experience say? It says, you know, if you have chemistry knowledge, if you study chemistry, what knowledge you will get? Chemistry knowledge. Will you get physics knowledge?
No.
No. But if you study music, then you will get music knowledge. But you don't get any other cooking knowledge, etc., you don't get.
Yes.
That means every type of knowledge leads only to the particular result. This holds true only if every object is totally separate, not at all connected to each other. What did Swami Vivekananda say? He made a most marvelous statement. Then he said that suppose there is a chemist. Chemist means one who knows about
chemistry.
So his knowledge is confined only to chemistry. So by our reasoning, he doesn't know anything else excepting chemistry. But he said, if he goes on persisting, you come to the element, you know, basic elements. You go on pressing. What is this element? What is this element? What is the cause of this element? Then physics, chemistry, biology, zoology, everything, it goes on narrowing until you come to one beyond which this is called Karanasya Karana, Sarva Karana Karana, the cause of all causes, only one. And beyond that, beyond one, you cannot go. So that's why he said, let a chemist go on devoting himself to that. If he doesn't stop, then you will reach the same goal.
Beyond that one cause you cannot go?
How can you go? That means you are saying beyond that ultimate cause there is another cause.
No, no. There is nothing.
That is the meaning of Mula Karana. So that is a cause for everything, but it is not a cause, it doesn't have another cause.
Only in the manifested world.
No. In the manifested world also we see nanatva, manifoldness. So the cause of a tree is different, the cause of a cow is different, the cause of a human being is different, isn't it?
Yes.
So our day-to-day affair is only based upon this knowledge. That is why if there is a human being, you don't assume that the cause is a cow. Exceptional cases exist. You know what is that? Some cow protection committee had come. And these fellows wanted donation from Swamiji. And he said, what do? You know, we protect old cows. So why don't you serve human beings? He said, human beings suffer because of their karma phala. By the same reason, Swamiji said, that cows also suffer because of their karma phala. What is the difference? They said, but our scriptures say, cow is our mother. And then he said, yes, I understand. Who else can produce such talented children?
Oh, poor man, sir.
You know, but he did not, this fellow didn't understand at all.
No.
These are exceptional cases. Anyway, coming back, this is most important point. Our whole vyavaharika world, vyavahara means? Our behavior in this world, you cannot presume that mula karana, otherwise it becomes chaotic. But Ramakrishna had given enough hints. But if you go to that, then you cannot be practical in this world. You will be impractical. So Sri Ramakrishna had a desire to eat sandesh. So immediately he bought a good sandesh and then put it in his mouth, and he was shifting from side to side. Oh mind, this is also made up of five elements only, which is absolute truth. But if you apply that logic here, day-to-day life, then it will take a usually different turn.
Did you hear what she said?
No.
Weight loss.
It could be the other way around also. It depends upon. Yeah. Anyway, what is the point here? That we are all seeking only one karana. Do you know that? Unconsciously, we are all seeking that Mula Karana. How do you know? Every second of our life.
Yeah.
You see, if I eat this food, I will be happy all the time.
Yes.
But the point is, in the practical world, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Why? Because this eating will only satisfy that eating part.
Yes.
So you will have to see something nice. Then that part has to be fulfilled. You want to hear something nice, then that part has to be fulfilled. There is only one indriya, for a short time, you are satisfying. So, what Sri Ramakrishna, what was he doing by saying that it is made up of? If that philosophy is applied, then you know, you eat even a little bit of clay. You will get the same joy because you do not say, you know, when you come to that Mula Karana, what is the name of Mula Karana? Brahman. See, what is the Mula Karana of Sandesh? Brahman. What is the Mula Karana of clay?
Same.
Brahman. What is the Mula Karana of wood?
Same.
Brahman. What is the Mula Karana of gold? Brahman. The Mula Karana of everything is? Take it further. What is the Mula Karana of our deadliest enemy?
Brahman.
Brahman. So in that case, would we still consider that person as a deadliest person, enemy?
No.
So there is no tiger, there is no human being, there is no friend, there is no enemy. Premarpana Samadarshan. Jaga Jana Dukha Jai. That is the only solution. When a person attains to that state,
yes,
then what happens is, he lives in that ananda. When he starts living in that ananda, this body, usually they say, it doesn't last long. That is called samadhi. Unless God operates in that body and uses it for the good of other people. This is the simple truth. So this is the teacher wanted to tell, what is the use of other types of, this is what Sri Ramakrishna said, what do I gain by this knowledge, education, which is, you know, banana and rice bundling education. This is what he meant. He is not denying. He says, this has its value. But its value is very, very slight. But if I learn the other type of vidya, yad gnatva sarvam vignatam bhavati, everything can be known. So here, knowledge means what? Another point, important point you have to understand. Knowledge means effect. Yes. Our problem is, we divide knowledge into artificial knowledge. Intellectual knowledge is called artificial knowledge. What does it mean? You know something, but it has absolutely no effect upon our day-to-day life. This is called theoretical knowledge or intellectual knowledge. So, by definition, knowledge means that which has equal effect, immediate equal effect upon it. What is equal? The effect is equal to the knowledge. So let us take two examples to make this point clear. So suppose you 100% believe. Now here the point is, whether it is real or unreal is not the point. It is enough if you think it is real. So there is a time bomb ticking. It will have its effect immediately. You get fright, then you feel like running away from here. So if it is a good type of knowledge, immediately you will have your, you know, that joy, everything will come. Okay, this is the definition of knowledge. But what we do intellectually, like pandits, you know, we have this thing. So by knowing that moola karana, you do not need to do anything. This is a most beautiful discussion Shankaracharya brings when he is arguing against karma kandis, purva mimamsa. So, what is the purva mimamsa's argument? That the whole Veda is karma oriented. So you have to do something. So your knowledge is useless. Because knowledge, you know, I know Rasagulla exists. But that doesn't fulfill my desire. I have to go and get Rasagulla and I have to eat. Then only it will give the effect. So the whole essence of Amnaya is Karma Chodana. Is any statement which is written in praise of knowledge is only arthavada. It's a praising karma, some part of karma. It is only to make you, you know, if you read even half a sloka of the Gita, it is like donating 1 million cows to everybody. So every day I do that. How many millions of cows I am donating every day? Yeah. You see the point? The karma vadin is very happy. Now I have defeated this jnani. The jnani says, you are a stupid fellow. You don't understand what you are talking about. Knowledge has immediate effect. What is the immediate effect? You know, two examples are given. So, you heard about person, you like that person, you had knowledge, all knowledge of the person, everything, but you never met the person. So one day you went to a reception and you are meeting lots of people here and there, and suddenly your friend brings one person. Do you know this person? What is your answer?
No.
I do not know. Then that person says, you know, his name is so and so. Oh, I know all about him. This is an example. So what is the example here? What karma did you do to know this person? What karma did you do it? No, no. The idea is, already you have knowledge of that person. All that needed was, you did never met that person. So the introduction is not a karma. Introduction is, it removed your ajnana that you did not know this person, now you knew this person. The moment you come, you recognize, oh, this is so and such person, all the effects of your previous knowledge has come into effect.
Yeah.
So with this background, the Shankaracharya gives an example. What is the example? There are many examples. One example, he says, you know, one person, he had a necklace in his, round his neck. And one day, he thought that he had lost his necklace. So he was very sad. So there was nobody nearby. So he runs to his friend, who is 2 miles away. And as soon as he meets, the friend asks him, why did you come at this night? He says, you know, I'm very sad. Why? I have lost my necklace. He says, what, you fool? What are you talking about? The necklace is right around your neck. Oh, is it so? I'm sorry, I unnecessarily. And then, now the question comes, so what karma did he do to discover that he had never lost it, but he thought he lost it. So what did this friend do? He simply removed, he thought he lost it, and he proved you did not lose it. All that he said, it is right round your neck. Is that karma? What karma should he do in order to get? Okay, this man said, the necklace is round your own neck. Now what further karma should this fellow do to get back his lost necklace? Sri Ramakrishna gives this example. Another example, you know? He went at night. He went to his neighbor's house, went on knocking, I want some fire. He said, you stupid fellow, you are having fire right in front of you. These are all wonderful things. So, this is what the Mula Karana, what does it do? It does. You do not need to do anything. So, what is this? Our normal vyavahara, day-to-day life, if you want to be happy, then you will have to do something. I want to eat a rasagulla, I want to go that place, etc. So why you need to do it, all those things? Because this is world of Maya. But when you come to Jnanakanda, what is this? I have lost my happiness, like losing my necklace. So the teacher comes and says, see, have you forgotten? What is your nature? You are of the nature of bliss. Oh, is it so? What karma should he do further? Nothing. The moment he knows, I was happy, I forgot I am a happy person. Now I know I am a happy person. So I am bound. Somebody is chasing me. Somebody is chasing me. A woman, don't mind, you know. A woman went to a psychiatrist. No, not psychiatrist, police. He said, what is the matter? What brings you to the police station? A woman said, you know, that fellow is chasing me, is always after me. He said, madam, I asked that fellow, That fellow said, even if this lady gives me $10 billion, I would not even look at her. You see, people are under this many types of delusion. We are all under delusion. What is the point here? If it is an actual bondage, then somebody has to come and then cut it. If it is a thought, the bondage is of a thought, then what needs to be done? One thought will replace one positive thought, replaces the negative thought. One thorn removes the other thorn. That's it. But this presumes that you are God. But you are thinking, I am not God. What does the teacher do? So, all this long discussion with examples, what is it? Do you get the point? The point is, no. The point is the greatness of knowledge. So, if you are God, but you have forgotten you are God, the knowledge that you get, I am God, instantaneously it is effective. That is all the point. So you need not do anything. In fact, if you do something, that means you have not got correct knowledge. All this doing is in the realm of maya, ajnana. This is the truth. Ultimately, whatever we do, it is only for knowledge. Do you know that? Do you understand that? You see, why do you eat rasagulla? The act of eating rasagulla is not for the sake of eating rasagulla. It is for the sake of producing the thought, I have eaten a nice rasagulla and I am a happy person. But without eating, if you can produce that thought, then you don't need any rasagulla.
That's true.
Don't put on it.
Swamiji, all gyms will close then.
Huh?
All gyms.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, but you know, what you need to understand is, so long as you see, you made a statement, gyms will be closed, but the body will be there. That doesn't work. When will the gyms be closed?
When there is no body,
gyms will be closed. That is the point. Ah.
We said that the realization will not happen or will not sustain unless there is adequate amount of preparation to go with it.
Yeah.
So, isn't the purpose of karma or karmakanda the preparation, which is the essence of all that we can do and be ready for the realization?
Yeah.
So, in that sense, aren't the karmakandis right that is the real essence of the scriptures and that is what should be done from an action perspective?
Yes. The point... Shankara, the whole controversy is, by hearing me a little bit, this is the doubt that comes to your mind. What the karmakandin says is, you do not need knowledge. All that you need to do is karma. If you do karma, you will attain moksha.
So they establish causality which does not exist.
No, no. Listen. His idea... What is Karmakandi's idea of moksha? Go to Swargaloka. Go to heaven. And that is all you need to do. You will be a happy person. But he is not pursuing further that if you go to Swargaloka, how long will you be there? There it will come to an end. That means again you will fall down. That means again you have to do it. This constant cycle of karma is not desirable even from anybody's point of view. What is our idea of moksha? It is only, you do some karma and you will attain to that. Now the point Shankara is, I will not go into details because it's a different subject. Karma is effective only in what is called in the realm of maya. Jnana is effective in the realm of, to get rid of the maya. So karma, karma phala are not two different things. Can you follow the argument? Karma and karma phala are not two different things. Mango seed and mango tree are not, they belong to the same realm. That means what? You just imagine. You work hard, you earn money, and you buy sweet. And you start eating sweet. You get a feeling. What is the feeling?
Happy.
I am happy. Now, that is fine. What did you do to get this feeling? You ate. The rasagulla or sweet, whatever it is, isn't it? Is that the end, the karma phala ends there with your feeling?
No.
No, the rasagulla is still there in the stomach. So you have to digest it. And it can create a problem. And even if it doesn't create problem, once your hunger is finished, you need to do. I don't know whether I'm conveying point. Karma has no end. Karma leads to karma phala. Karma phala is another type of karma. It leads to again further karma. It goes on and on and on and on. Nobody wants that. What we hope is one of karma and permanent happiness. Is it possible through karma? No, it's not possible. So two arguments. Again, what the point you raised. One argument that Shankaracharya gives is, karma is itself the result of ajnana. So ajnana has no power to remove ajnana. Only something opposite. Second point, you mentioned, the whole sadhana period, that is not to give liberation. It is to remove. So one avidya maya is countered and destroyed by vidya maya. One thorn is removed by another thorn. We already, one thorn has entered. What is that thorn? Avidya maya. Sri Ramakrishna says, now get hold of the vidya maya thorn and remove this. And afterwards, this is very precious. It helped me to get rid of avidya maya. So I will keep it, hold. You cannot hold it. Because vidya maya, it will disappear. So like that catalytic agent. It does its work and disappears. So that is its nature. So this is Shankara's point of view. He never denied certain karma. What he said is, there are karmas and karmas. Avidya karma, completely get rid of it. Vidya karma has two results. Vidya maya, two results. One result is, that which involves us in further samsara by allowing us to enjoy. The other is, when you renounce the result, then your mind is ready for knowledge. So until that point, not only karma is not denied, it is positively asserted. Without karma, your heart will not become chit. In fact, what is your upasana? That is also karma. What is your meditation? That is also karma. But the point is, jnana is not karma. Why jnana is not karma? Yesterday also I gave a hint. All these points take time for us to digest. You have to go on doing manana. The point here is, see, there are two. Jnana is vastu tantra. Karma is kartru tantra. See, here is a book. The knowledge of the book, you cannot do anything. If it is a book, it is book knowledge. You cannot change it even one iota. But because this is knowledge of the object. Knowledge of the object depends upon the object. It is not, we cannot change it. But Kartru Tantra means, you can look at it, you can look at something else, you can go away from here, you can do whatever you like. So what Shankara wants is, karma is something which you can change. You can do good karma, you can do bad karma, or you can do no karma. But jnana is vastu tantra. Santra means if it is a jnana, it is jnana. It has nothing to do with you. You come near it and you, I want it, it will help you. But if you don't want it, you go away. But you can't say, I will make jnana into ajnana, ajnana into jnana. You cannot do that. What is the point of all this? The point is, first, 2 points again. Jnana has nothing to do with karma. First, secondly, jnana to karma can never bring you to jnana. What is the role of karma? It can remove your ajnana. It is not going to give jnana. That is a difficult point for most of us to understand. Is it not the same? It is not the same. Jnana is always there. Ajnana is something which is not there. You created it. That's why it is called ajnana.
Okay.
So, the jnana in English is knowledge. Knowledge. So, these are very subtle points to be observed, understood.
But do we really have any control over our karma? Or is it not that our karma is a consequence of our
past?
Our past or our...
Yes. We have limited amount of freedom. See, for example, you have some holidays, you chose to come here. It is not because your previous karma put a pistol behind you and then brought you here. I would be happy either way. But the point is, you deliberately chose. It would be nice if we go and listen to the talks, isn't it?
So, how do we know, Maharaj, that we made a choice?
You see, it's very simple and irrefutable argument. If you did not have freedom to do karma, the two things will happen. First of all, that if somebody else does karma, whom does it affect? So if you are not the doer, it should affect that person who is doing it, not you. First point. Second point is that you experience sukha and dukkha. Why do you experience? It's a very simple truth. Where is somebody else is eating rasagulla and he is happy. Do you feel that I am very happy? I have eaten rasagulla. Do you ever do that?
No.
That means that you feel because you have that kartrutva bhava. And kartrutva bhava means freedom. Do you get what I am talking about?
Maharaj, what I think you are saying is that to the extent...
No, first understand this.
Yeah.
It's very important concept. Suppose somebody puts a gun behind you and says, do something. So will you be responsible for doing that job or is that person taken?
The other person.
Suppose somebody puts a gun behind you and says, you kill this fellow. When the police come to know the case as it is, then whom did they arrest? Because you have not chosen to do this. You were forced to do it. What is the point of this? Point is, do you feel that I have done karma or do you feel that somebody made me do karma? That means you as a free agent, you have chosen to do it. That itself proves that freely, deliberately, consciously, schemingly, you have done the karma. But, I understand your argument. What made you take this decision? That is where the past samskaras are of some help. But at any given time, you can rebel against it and say, "And I don't want this." That is what is called meditation. Otherwise, you can't even meditate. And this argument doesn't last long because what made that past karma make you do it? You blame the previous karma. And who made you do that past karma? They say it is infinite regress. But the most logical argument is we all feel that I am the doer. That's why we suffer. The moment if we don't feel we are the doers, we will not take the effect. Do you understand? Like, If somebody else is doing something, I don't feel I am doing it. That is why, whether the other person is happy or unhappy, I don't feel responsible for it. Do you see the point?
Yes.
Yeah. So, these are the very important points actually. Shankaracharya was not against karma. He says karma has its limited helpfulness. Take help of that limited helpfulness. Once you reach a point, then he says a different type of karma. Actually, he doesn't say that karma should be given. You can never give up karma so long as there is a body, so long as there is a mind. Whatever you do by the mind is also karma. Your meditation is also karma. Your thinking of God is also karma. Your thinking that I have attained knowledge is also karma. That's why it is a bondage. Brahmakara vritti is a bondage. Why is it a bondage? Because it is the karma of the mind. I have been thinking about Divine Mother, and Divine Mother's thought has become very strong. Who made that thought very strong? I made that thought. That means my mind made. That means mind is limited. If mind is limited, whatever is in the mind is also
limited.
That's why one has to go beyond body mind. What Shankaracharya means to say, and Sri Ramakrishna has put it, meditation is also in the realm of the Divine Mother only. It's only in the realm of Maya. But he says, graciously, it is in the realm of the Vidya. Yeah, that is Vidya Maya. Vidya Maya is also in the realm of
Maya.
That is a thorn. Ramakrishna said beautifully, you know. That is also a thorn. He said it's a bigger thorn. Yeah. Okay. Coming back.
Just one question. Then can you get rid of your karmas through meditation?
Yes. Not through meditation.
No.
Meditation is a karma.
Mm-hmm.
Karma can never get rid of karma. Karma will only increase the karma or decrease the karma. But meditation produces knowledge, and that knowledge, or rather, let me put it this way, even that is incorrect statement. Meditation aids us to destroy the avidya. Naturally, automatically, knowledge comes. And that knowledge destroys the avidya. So, the result of karma, good karma, is to remove the obstruction. That is all its work. But it is good enough. I mean, this is arguments. But it is good enough in the practical field. It helps us. That is fine. Okay. It's coming back to this Chandogya, it's very important, you know. So the first part says, assumes. What do we see? This is the world. This is effect. This is karya. And everybody can experience it. But the cause of that is not experienceable. So if we can go on inquiring, what is the cause of this? Then we find that there are not different causes. Ultimately, there is only
one
cause, Mula Karana. And if we go to that Mula Karana, immediately what happens? The differentiations will vanish. Here is living, here is non-living, here is a tree, here is good person, but all these differentiations at that stage, all these differentiations will vanish. When differentiations are not there, there is no bondage. When differentiations are not there, there is no bondage.
Yeah.
Not only that, practical field, what happens? It is the differentiation which makes us unhappy. What is the differentiation? Now I am hungry. So when you go to Mula Karana, you will not be hungry. You know why? Because there will be no body. There will be no mind. There will be even no thought. But then, is it a state of happiness? Yes. How do we know? Sushupti.
Yes.
Sushupti is a state of pure bliss. So if Sushupti itself can give so much happiness, how much that Moolakarana can give us happiness. So that Moolakarana is also what happens, it is a knowledge. That knowledge will automatically give us, what is that knowledge? Do you know what is that knowledge? Moolakarana, when you go to Moolakarana, what do you do? Okay, I'm giving the illustration. There is a huge mountain peak. So one person climbs from this side. What does he say? I am the climber of the peak. Another person goes from this side. He reaches the top. What does he say? I am the climber of the peak. Even if 100 people climb, every one of them from their mouth, only one sentence comes. I am the climber of the peak. This is the illustration. So, when a person reaches that Moolakarana, how many persons will be there? That Moolakarana. I am that Moolakarana. So, when you go to Moolakarana, you don't say I am so and so. You say I am this. Whatever name you give, you simply say I am. You don't say I am this. I am a climber. That's an example. Now I say I am so and so to differentiate from you. When I reach Moolakarana, there is nothing else is there. So you say I am.
You don't even say it.
I mean, for human language, to express it. Simply, I am. That feeling will be there. First point. Next point is, if you eat rasagulla, you get so much happiness. If you eat two rasagullas, you get double happiness. I know. These intellects are furiously trying to work. Going into the opposite direction. Listen to my example properly. Savadhan hoke saumya, savadhan hoke suno. If I eat one rasagulla, I get happiness of one rasagulla. If you eat one rasagulla, you get the happiness of 100 people eat 100 rasagullas each, one each. Then they get, you all combine this 100% happiness. When you go to Moolakarana, Sarva Karana, then Sarva experience will come. Shrotriyasya cha kama hatasya, like that Brahmananda Valli, you know, it goes on saying. Taittiriya Upanishad, Brahmananda Valli. Manushya Gandharvana Manandaha. Satam Manushya Gandharvana Manandaha Eko Indrana. Shrotriyasya Akamahatasya. Every time he says, this happiness which man gets, that same happiness Shrotriya will get. Akamahatasya. That means he reached the Moolakarana, he gets. 100 times this human happiness is Gandharvana Manandaha. The Shrotriya will get the same. So ultimately, Brahmanasya Anandaha. The supreme happiness of Brahma, that is million, billion, billion, billion times more than any human happiness. Shrotriyasya cha kamahatasya. He says, because you are becoming one. From, if you are Moolakarana, the whole universe has come from whom? From you. So whatever happiness they get, then that happiness. So here our Prabuddhas will have a doubt. I know you are good people, you don't think, so the doubt will not come. This is the doubt Shankaracharya raises. So you say a realizer of soul gets all happiness. But that's a wrong argument. Why is it an argument? Here is a tiger and here is a man. The tiger jumps onto the man, does Brahmarpanam and finishes him. Now, you see, the tiger is getting happiness. But what about the man? But this is then Sarvananda, because the man identifies himself, I am the everything. Then half happiness and half unhappiness should be there. This is our You know, if at all a doubt comes, you know. The doubt has not come, I know, it didn't come to you. It is my fault, I raised the doubt unnecessarily and then troubled you. The answer given is, when a person has identified, who is the tiger? Who is the man? Himself. So, is it possible that one can destroy oneself? It is just a play. So that's why the man dying is also a play. And the tiger eating is also a play. So he gets double joy. The hero's action also gives him joy. The villain's action also gives him joy. And the heroine's action also will give him joy. Everything is joy, oh joy. Joy. Joy, Thakur.
Or it may be a state of beyond joy and no joy.
That is called ananda. So why it is said, otherwise we have a doubt again, if it is not happiness, it is not unhappiness, we better keep this one, because at least sometime we are getting happy. There nothing is there.
Na maya mili na ram.
Huh?
Na maya mili na ram.
Na ghar ka, na ghat ka.
Marriage?
Okay, let us first finish this one. So the answer is given is, first of all, do you get peace in Sushupti state? Is it a positive experience? So if you can get in this unconscious state so much of happiness, how can it not be the state? It is just a neutral state. That idea we have to forget. So the argument is, all the happiness, we said mula karana. So if this happiness, a person has got this much happiness, and a tree has got that happiness, what is going to happen if it is mula karana? Is this happiness coming from outside?
No.
It must be inherent there.
Yeah.
So, if one person can get so much of happiness, how much happiness Brahman can give? There are several stupid arguments our human mind goes through. One of the arguments is, if we ask any normal person, how much happiness did you enjoy in your life? And how much unhappiness you enjoyed, is suffering you have gone through. What would be the percentage? It's a very serious question, because some people say, my whole life is blighted. You know what is blighted? Bhagavan lighted. He's blighted. Anyway, what is the point here? If you really analyze in your whole day, how much time you are unhappy, you just tell me, find out. Very little. The percentage of unhappiness is so little, but we go on magnifying it. Because you may not be sometimes, you know, we do not understand happiness. There are two states of happiness. Excitement happiness and non-excitement happiness. So you had breakfast. When you are having nice idli, you had happiness. That is called excited happiness. Now you are not feeling hungry. You are not suffering. What is, do you, are you happy or unhappy?
Happy.
But why do you say that I don't feel that? You don't feel because you have identified peculiarly excitement alone as happiness. Yeah, but when a pin pricks you, or a thorn enters you, or something happens, then you feel the opposite. But if nothing of that is happening, it is nothing but happiness, and this is actually real happiness. Is a peace is real happiness. You know, in most of the people, I mean, everybody, how much unhappiness is there? The percentage of unhappiness is very little. But we have become accustomed, I am not happy. Many, many mistakes we make, misnomers. What is the misnomer? I am not happy. The other fellow is very happy. Excepting me, everybody is very happy. But you sit in his shoes, then you will understand. But the other fellow is also thinking exactly same thing. I am unhappy, this fellow is very happy. This is the mistake we go on committing, like fashion. You understand? Fashion? Here is a girl who puts on a particular dress. You ask, why do you put this particular dress? He says, this is fashion. This is what, you know, society is doing it. And what do you mean by society? You know, this neighbor girl, the other neighbor girl, they are all putting the same dress. Mm-hmm. So if I dress otherwise, I will be an odd oddity. So you are imitating that girl, isn't it? You go and ask that girl, what made you wear this? She will show this girl. So everybody is showing everybody else. This is called fashion. Nobody knows who started it, etc. What is the point? We are all living in the opinions of other people, reflections in the other people. That's what Prajapati really wanted to find out. You are looking at yourself as the reflection in the other fellow's eyes. How the other fellow, we are 24 hours we are trying, how we can get appreciation, praise, approval from the other fellow. Yeah, we are slaves to this. Bondage it is. First find out whether you are happy about it. That is why be selfish. Okay, what was your doubt?
Maharaj, is that the experience of identifying to that karana, mula karana, when Swamiji met with the tiger, is he the same kind of experience?
I don't know. I presume so. But you see, I can pull Swamiji's legs also. See, first is he is seeing Brahma. So if one Brahman interacts with the other Brahman, it doesn't really matter. That is commonsensical view, philosophical view, practical view. The second view is, in any case, there is no choice. There is nothing you can do about the tiger. You are a sitting duck. So at least philosophize and say, both of us are hungry, I can't eat the tiger, at least the tiger can eat me.
Maharaj, what about that experience when Divine Mother told Sri Ramakrishna that you are eating through all the mouths?
Yeah.
That is the thing.
You see, there's a deep philosophy is there behind it. What is he trying to tell? Preserve this individual body. So the first point is, Sri Ramakrishna had offered his mind, body and mind to the Divine Mother long back. He had no right. It's already given there. That means she will do what she wills to do. And she has already planned. This is how I manifest myself through this body. She is talking about herself. Mm-hmm. I have decided to manifest through this body in this particular manner. Secondly, you know, Sri Ramakrishna had no ulterior motive. So now you identify yourself with everybody. Mm-hmm. That means what? What does it matter? This body stays or goes. So the argument can be that I have no selfish interest in keeping this body. If this body is preserved, some good can be done to other people. Whose thinking was it? Sri Ramakrishna. But the Divine Mother is telling, you have no right to think. You have already offered your body and mind. I will decide what is to happen through your body and mind. he told this, not out of his own accord, because Narendranath and others had requested him to do. So he said, "Mother, let this. What is their request? Live a little longer. To live a little longer, what should he do?
Eat.
He should be able to eat. That was a stage when he was not able to eat.
Right.
That's why the body was kankal vegach, you know. You see the last.
Yes.
So for few days more, it is. Everybody knows it is not going to be prolonged forever, but for a short time. So Sri Ramakrishna's unwillingly requested the Divine Mother. So why don't you prolong this? And that is when the Divine Mother revealed to her, you are identified with everybody. Eating means not only eating.
Right. So, but that state is Mula Karana, no? Identifying with everybody and not just one body.
Actually, there are two stages. One is, so long as the mind is conscious, this is that identifying with everybody. But there is a stage which is called Nirvikalpa Samadhi. The question of the what is called many-ness doesn't arise. The question that I am alone also doesn't arise. Like you are in deep sleep, you don't say, I am alone. Only upon waking up, I slept well, you say. So, this is an experience to show, event for Sri Ramakrishna to show. You have no right. And this is also a lesson for all of us. And that is what is spiritual practice. You identify yourself with more and more, isn't it? Yeah, this is what. So let us conclude today's one very important. The first part is from the karya to the karana. Karyas are many. Karana is one. Karya is manifest. Karana is unmanifest. And all karyas have only one karana. And by going to that karana, then there is only oneness remains.
Yeah.
If you can go there, your goal in life will be reached. Why? What is our goal? We want to be immortal. We want to be all blissful. And we want to be all knowledge. So this is fulfilled by going to that. So, in the evening, what we will discuss, he specifically takes up the analysis of this world, analysis of this karya.
Okay.
Why analysis of karya? Because we never analyze the karya, the effect. What we are, our understanding of this, what we call the world, is leading us more into bondage than leading us out of bondage. Why? Because we are not seeing the unity. We are only seeing the diversity. So, should you not see the diversity? In fact, diversity is much more enjoyable, provided you see the unity. Then everybody becomes, it is like a huge play. Everything is a play. My enemy is also a play. My friend is also a play. Everything is a play. So, this analysis of the world, what it consists of. Here, our normal understanding of Panchabhutas is reduced. You know, in Brihadaranyaka, Panchabhutas, five elements. What are those five elements? Akasha, Vayu, Agni, Apaha and Prithivi. So, these are subdivided into two, both in Ishavasya Upanishad, Taittiriya Upanishad and Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Murta and Amurta. Murta means visible. Amurta means invisible. So, Akasha and Vayu are invisible. Whereas, fire, water and earth are visible. So, in this particular chapter, only these three are taken. So, fire...
Form and formless,
Mother?
Murta and Amurta?
What do you mean by formless?
Yeah, that is not manifest.
Non-manifest is called formless. Yeah, that's all, nothing else. Okay. So, in this sixth chapter, second part of what we are going to discuss and then come to the conclusion. Third part is reinforcing and say, O Svetaketu, if you analyze, then you, Svetaketu, as an individual, and this Mulakarana, which is called Brahman, Tat Tvam, Tvam Svetaketu, Tat Mulakarana, Asi, you are one and the same. Only when we know the Mulakarana, Karana and Karya, one point of view is Karana, another point of view is Karya. But both are exactly the same. If we can see this as the same, but two manifestations of the one, then there is no bondage. This is called Bhava Mukhavastha. You have the understanding of Nitya, you also understanding of the Leela. So this world is not different from God. Tattvamasi Svetaketu. So 9 times is repeated with 8 examples. So today night we will conclude that one with this. If you have any doubts, you know, until Thursday evening you have got time to express your doubts. if at all any doubts come. But this is a most wonderful chapter, you know. The whole is called Sadvidya. Sadvidya means not sad. Sad means good. It's a good vidya. It means sat.
Existence.
Everything is existence. And existence is also chit. Existence is also ananda. So he is basically Upanishads are satyam, jnanam, anantam, brahma. Is another way of doing it. But even if we analyze Sat, that's the most marvelous thing. If you analyze what is this world, then you will realize it's nothing but God. That is the analysis. But only for a qualified student, this argument becomes effective. Otherwise, it doesn't. He says, what is this you are talking about? I am a scientist. According to scientists, everything is energy. So energy, where is consciousness coming here?
Consciousness is life.
Ah. Vedanta goes and says, how do you know this conscious? Who knows this is conscious? This is energy. Who is the recognizer? If you don't recognize this energy, then energy is meaningless. But that question they are not asking. Now they are asking.
Yeah.
Now they are beginning to ask. Not only that, the science has gone in many, many wrong ways. Now they are trying to correct. One of the most important scientific law is whatever is not there in the potential stage can never come when it manifests. So what they are saying is that, you know, consciousness. Consciousness, somewhere on the way, it suddenly entered. From where did it enter? Because you see, we are not talking about an individual. We are talking about the whole universe. So if it is not already there,
how can it
come? Where from does it come? Because there is no other universe. This is the point. I am not talking, oh, it came from the other tree. No, there is no tree. We are talking about the whole universe. Where from did it come? So this is, now they are studying it and it must have been there as part of our nature. So there was no opportunity as a carpet to manifest our consciousness. But when we come to human, you know, any life, we are manifesting a little bit more. So this false fallacy is also because of certain reason. The reason is, even now, most people are under the impression that consciousness is possible only because of brain, development of brain. Now some scientists are questioning, which is first? Did consciousness manufacture brain, or did brain manufacture consciousness? Vedanta already tells, you know. So, and also there's Descartes, you know, philosopher.
Yeah, I think
I think therefore?
I am.
No. That is a parody that created later on. It is the other way around. See, to think, first, do you have to exist first or do you think and then exist?
I have to exist first.
That is why I exist, therefore I think. And how do I know? Because I know that I exist because I think. Yeah. You know, by just reading some quotations, people will think, oh, this fellow is putting the cart before the horse. No, no. He was intelligent enough to say, I have to exist before I can even start thinking. Yeah. So this is what Vedanta says, that even before you think, you must exist. So the brain is only an instrument. So the brain cannot manufacture consciousness. It is the consciousness which says, hey, I need you as a tool. That's it. And that solves many of the other problems. What happens when a person dies in a coma? Yeah, like that. Okay? Anything else?
Yeah. Maharaj, you told gurus, they don't give knowledge, but they move obstacles.
Yeah.
Then you said good work can move the obstacles.
Sorry?
Good work can move the obstacles.
Yes.
So two things can move the obstacles.
Yes, because what is a guru? Guru is good work. He tells us, you do japa, you do meditation, you do dana, dharma, isn't it? So what is the doing japa? That is karma, good karma. So there is no contradiction. So even guru, we say guru cannot give knowledge. But better expression is, guru need not give knowledge. Because already you are what you think you are not. So he need not make you somebody new. All that he needs to say, you think you are thinking, you are nothing. But he removes that ignorance. Now you know I am so and so. That is the idea. And that can be done only through good works. That is why Guru goes on telling, you do japa, meditation and service and all those things. So there is no difference between guru and good karma. Yeah, otherwise, you know, otherwise what happens? Guru goes guru's way, our karma goes in its own way. And then the guru is converted now into
guru.
In fact, we are all doing, converting the guru into a guru in more senses than one. Because we are focusing upon the physical presence of the, you know, he says, you are not body, you are not mind, you are Atma. Yes, Guruji. This is the most wonderful teaching you have given. So, we will worship your body till the end of our life. This is called Guru cult. Guru cult is condemned. No Guru cult. You look upon him as divine. So, is it because you are making him divine? Or he is divine and you are trying to recognize him? Same thing with us also. The disciple is also divine. Guru cannot make a non-divine into divine. God also cannot make a non-divine into divine. God only can make the divine into divine. In this sense, he will remove some of the obstacles. That is all it happens. Yeah.
And then another question is, you said that the man put the treasure in the lake.
Yes.
The other end of the thread is his mind.
So, this is the world.
So, to guide him also, he knew that the other end of the thread is where. But if he caught the thread?
Slowly it will take us to the treasure. Means, here treasure means God. Thread is our karma.
Mm-hmm.
and the visible world is this end of the thread.
Okay.
Effect, go on think, finding out the effect, it will lead us to God. That is the idea. Yeah.
Both negative and positive.
Yeah.
And once you reach above,
yeah,
it becomes very high, easy to go up.
No.
No.
You see, that is a mistake we always commit. So a child, even a small weight will be a burden for a child. But for a grown-up person, that small weight is nothing, isn't it? But when a person grows up, you don't give that child's weight to him. You give a grown-up person's weight only to him, isn't it? So it is as difficult as though it is for the child. So what is meant, what I am trying to tell you, that when we progress in spiritual life, it gets progressively easier. That is, there is a misnomer about it. It is not absolutely true. In a way it is true because you are not fighting with certain type of temptations, but you are fighting with other types of temptations which are deep in the mind. And you know how difficult it is to fight those temptations? Suppose it is hot, then you can use air condition. Suppose it is very cold, you can put on warm clothing and put electric heaters. But suppose a wrong thought is possessing you, you know what you do? I should not think about. It is a deeper thinking about that thought only. I shouldn't worry, I should not worry. Yeah, simple test, you know. You just 1 minute you meditate, think of God. When you are thinking of God for 1 minute, don't allow the thought of a monkey to enter into your mind. What would you be thinking for that whole 1 minute? Yeah. It is the truth. So that is why you yourself have confessed, I'm always worried about my daughter, etc., etc. You know that it is not going to do any good. You know that, like anybody else. And yet, you are totally incapable of doing anything so far. Is it not? So, what is the remedy? Pratipaksha bhavanam. You think of some other thought. Don't say, I don't want to think about my daughter. Because even that is also thinking about your daughter only. Bring some other thought which has nothing to do with you or your daughter or anybody. Any thought that will counteract this thought. This is called pratipaksha bhavana. Think of something else. Especially the opposite thing. We can do it. Chalo.